Welcome back to the LACC podcast. There are still lots of fun events planned for the summer. Make sure you don't miss out by heading to lacc.tv/summer to get the details. And with that, here's Brandon.
Well, good morning, church. It's been a fantastic morning getting to worship with you together. Hey, before we jump into today's message, just because I feel like it's going to be one of those heavier ones, would you just bow with me in a word of prayer? God, we just got done singing your praises. We got done expressing to you how awesome and how great you are. And Father, we recognize that your truth is sometimes challenging, that the things that we find within Scripture is sometimes difficult for us to put into practice. And so, God, I'm praying that today it wouldn't come across as radical, but as practical, as things that we need to do. I remember last week the phrase being said that the moment that we stop thinking that we might be wrong is the moment that we stop growing. And so, Father, this morning, I'm just praying, I'm just asking that your presence would be felt, that your Spirit would be here to help us to see and to hear and to understand what it is that you want from us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to continue in this series that we began last week. Walter had the idea, and so we made him go first and preach. And I thought he did a really good job. He kicked off this series, Church Can Be Like and it was an opportunity for us to understand really that the entirety of the New Testament, or I should say the majority of the New Testament, was written so that we would understand what God is expecting from us, especially as a church. Most of these letters written by Paul and Peter and James and some other writers, they're writing to groups of people that gather together to hear what God wanted them to be doing. There were moments where they got it right. They were doing a good job and they were encouraged by that. And there were moments that they were struggling and they weren't living up to what God was expecting from them. And so he would challenge them. He would critique them in a loving way, in a way that would help them to understand this is the path that we should be on. And last week, Walter, he began with his idea that church can sometimes be like a toilet. And I know that that's kind of like an eyebrow-raising statement, like, whoa, what are you talking about? But if you stop and think about it, the reality is that this is a place where we can come together to get rid of the toxic stuff that's happened in our week. It's a place where we ought to be able to come and find cleansing, a group of people that cares about us, that loves us, that wants to spend time with us. Because let's be honest, this place is full of broken people that desperately need God. We all need God. And we're not a perfect church. We never want to present that idea to you that we're a perfect church. We've got our flaws. We have our mistakes. We do things wrong. We find ways to mess it up. But that isn't an excuse to stop pursuing what God wants from us, to stop pursuing what we see in Scripture. And so we're gonna cruise through some verses in the New Testament this morning. They're going to help us understand the critiques that God might have for us as we look at church. So I want to make sure that you hear that this morning. This is going to be a loving critique. God loves you. I love you. And I know I don't say that very often from the stage. It's just not my hardwiring, not my DNA. I'm not like the mushy, gushy kind of guy, but I'm being serious. God loves you and I love you. And let's grow together. Let's be open to what it is that he's saying. And let's take some steps together. So here's where I want to begin. I want to ask this question. Group participation time, okay? How many of you ever been to a professional sporting event? Any kind of professional sporting event. Okay, do me a favor. Leave your hands up for 1 second. How many of you have also maybe been to a concert, a rock show of some kind? Raise your other hand. I'm just curious. I mean, that's the majority of everybody in here, which is awesome. This is going to make a whole lot of sense this morning, okay? There's going to be a spot for that later in the sermon, okay? I promise. But here's what I want to speak about this morning. That I think that sometimes we can treat church, in our minds, we can think of church like it's a sporting event or it's a rock show. I've been to a professional sporting event. It's exciting. I like the energy that's there. I've been to see some concerts. As I was putting this message together, I started to list all the concerts, the people that I've seen, and they're all Christian artists. And I thought that was a little bit interesting. I've been to see DC Talk. I've been to see Rebecca St. James, Jars of Clay, Third Day, Skillet. I just totally dated myself if you know of any of those bands, but I don't care. They're good bands. They're good artists. I love them. So this is where I'm headed this morning. I want to ask another question. Why? Why do you go to see your favorite team play? Why do you go to watch your favorite artist in concert? Why do you do that? I think it's a pretty simple answer. You're going there to be entertained, right? You want to show up. You want to cheer. You want to yell. You want to scream. You want to sing along with your favorite artist on stage as they're singing your favorite ballad, your love song, the rock song, whatever it is that you want to be there. And you might want to enjoy some of the food that's there. And you want to go home feeling like you got your money's worth. And some of you might be starting to connect the dots a little bit before I put this next slide up on the screen. But I think that sometimes we tend to treat church in a lot of the same way, that we come to be entertained. Did I push a button too fast? I did. I'm sorry. Do we expect to be entertained when we come here? Is that our purpose for showing up on a Sunday morning? Do we sometimes show up, sing along with our favorite songs, ride the waves of emotion that come, throw a few dollars in the plate, listen to the message, go home feeling like we got our money's worth? I think that sometimes we can treat church very much like a sporting event or a rock show. I want to ask a question. This is going to be a foundational question, not just for today, not just for this series. I want this question to resonate in your heart, in your mind, and in your actions forever. Until we go home to see the Lord, I want to ask this question. Are you content? Are you satisfied to have church done for you? Or are you ready to be the church? It's a major difference between the two of those. Being content to just show up and have church done for you versus understanding the reality of what God says in Scripture, that we are to be the church. It's not about coming here to be entertained. But listen, we're not the only ones that are guilty of sometimes treating church this way. We're not the only ones. We didn't come up with this idea. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, God is speaking to his people and he says this: "These people, they draw near to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is a human commandment learned by rote, learned by routine. I show up at church maybe 5 minutes early, maybe 10 minutes late because it's socially acceptable. I'm going to come in, I'm going to grab my coffee and my donuts, and I'm going to use the second cup for more donuts because I've seen you doing that. I know you do that. I'm going to come into church, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to listen to the worship band doing the worship band thing, and I'm going to finish eating my donuts. Then I'm going to jump in on a clap. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. Then there's going to be this prayer time, and then there's this moment where this crazy guy gets on my stage, he starts to speak really fast and make all these crazy points, and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to feel like church was awesome." And we learn this by rote, and this is how we treat church. Like, we're just going through the routine. Like, yeah, today was cool because it was the same as last week and the week before that. It can't just be about coming here to be entertained. It has to be more. And this is what we see in Scripture. This is what we're going to be challenged by with this morning. There's another danger that I see if we allow church to just be done for us, that it's a source of entertainment, that we're quick to dismiss. We're really quick to dismiss the need, the absolute need to be here, to gather with other Christians, to do the things that God wants us to do. Walter used this verse last week, and I'm going to bring it up again. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says this: "Let us think of ways." Let's just come up with different ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." We're not here to be entertained, but we are here to be motivated. Motivated by one another to acts of love and good works. We're commanded to hold tightly to this time and space, to protect this gathering together from the busyness of life. And if I'm being completely honest, from the selfishness of life. I'm going to ask for your permission here. I'd like to be just a little intrusive into your world for a minute, your life. Maybe even a little bit abrasive. How many of you keep your schedule on your phone? Anybody keep your schedule on your phone? Do me a favor, if you have that, pull it out. I want you to look at your phone. Maybe you're old school, you like the paper trail, so you got a day timer, a planner. If you have one of those, pull it out. If you don't have either one of those, I want you just to think back to June and July. I want you to think back, how many church services, how many Sundays did you miss? And when you look forward to August, do you already know that you're planning on not being here on one of these upcoming Sundays? Think about that for a minute. The reality is, statistics show that the average church attendance is 1.8 times a month. That's less than 50%. 1.8 times. And this is where things are going to probably land pretty close to home, maybe right in your front yard. I'm asking you, please don't put up a wall right now. Please don't. I want to talk to you about the reasons you weren't here. Is it possible that one of the times that you weren't here, you woke up on Sunday and you were just too tired? You felt too tired to be here. Was maybe one of those Sundays that you weren't here because of something that your family was involved in? Perhaps it was something that your kids were attached to, an activity, a sporting event of some kind? Was it maybe because you had planned a family vacation? You're going to go camping this weekend. Maybe you needed a home project work day and you needed Sunday to complete some of those projects. Maybe it was just straight up work that kept you from being here. My mind kind of went to this space to kind of challenge us a little bit. What if the next time that you were planning on not being here on a Sunday, you had to make a phone call? You had to call in. Kind of like when you're calling in sick to work, or maybe you call in for your kids, they got a doctor's appointment or something at school, and you got to call the office and let them know they're not going to be there. But listen, I'm not going to answer the phone. That's not going to be my job. You're going to be calling, and God's going to pick up the phone. What message are you going to leave with him? Are you hoping that he doesn't answer and you can leave a quick voicemail and hang up? Let's be real. I mean, what message is that sending when we allow these kinds of things to regularly push God out of that place in our life? What message do you think that sends to your family, to your kids, if you're just quick to dismiss church because maybe you're looking at it just as a source of entertainment and you're not understanding that you're supposed to be the church? Now, I fully understand what it is that I just said. There might be some of you in here right now that did put up a wall and you did kind of put that barrier up. And right now what you're thinking is, what I just heard the pastor say is if I'm not here in church on Sundays from 10:30 to 11:30, I'm going straight to hell. That's what you interpreted what I just said as meaning. That's what you just heard. Or you heard maybe, you know what, if I go to church every single Sunday and I'm there from 10:30 to 11:30, I'm going to get some special gold star when I get to heaven, a big merit badge. Hey, I got 52 out of 52. I'm not saying either one of those. Some of you are thinking, well, it's easy for him to say. It's his job. He's supposed to be here on Sunday. Of course he's going to tell us to be here. Would you be surprised if I were to tell you that there are some Sundays where I don't want to be here? I mean, think about your job. Think about your life. Are there days where you don't want to go into work for whatever reason? I have the same kind of feelings from time to time. Don't get me wrong, I love what I do. But I'm just like you. And if I'm being really honest, a lot of selfish reasons creep up as to why I wouldn't want to be here on a Sunday. Just selfish, straight up. And so I'm hoping that maybe you're letting some of this sink in just a little bit with this message. What I'm trying to say is this. Friends, I think we can do better. I think we can do better. I think that we can choose to make this time and this space, this command to meet together regularly, a priority. An unchallenged priority. Non-negotiable. This is what we're going to do. This is why we're going to do this. For our benefit, for the benefit of others. And listen, if you can't be here on a Sunday, then you're still going to honor that command to connect with other believers sometime that week. So please don't hear me say that if you're not here between 10:30 and 11 on Sunday, that somehow you've missed Christianity. Sorry. No, I'm not saying that. I don't want to be dogmatic. I don't want to be pharisaical about this. But I want to be serious. I want to be challenging at the same time. We do need to make that kind of effort. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what you're asking. No, I do. I understand that might actually mean saying no. Saying no to something that comes up. That might look more entertaining. That might be more satisfying in your mind. It might mean that you have to have hard conversations with your kids to say, listen, we're going to try to protect this time frame. Might be that you have to go and have a conversation with your boss and say, hey, could you maybe work something out with my schedule so I could have Sunday mornings off? Or maybe my Wednesday evenings off so I could make it to my life group and connect with other believers? Or maybe it's just a one-on-one thing that you do throughout the week. Church can look different, okay? It doesn't have to be here Sunday 10:30 to 11:30. Have I said that enough? You figuring that out? But the command still remains. We need to be together. We need to do that. I understand that Jesus is Jesus and we're not. But I don't recall a single time in Scripture where Jesus was like, no, I can't do that. Unless it was outside of God's plan, of course. No, I can't talk with those people right now. I'm just too tired. I had a crazy week. You know, I was in the church synagogue last week. I forgave a bunch of people. I healed a bunch of people. I'm just going to kind of lay low this Sunday. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, and he knew of the pain and the anguish and the sacrifice he was going to make. He didn't ask God to get out of it because he already had plans Good Friday through Resurrection Sunday. And so I'm just challenging us to treat the church like Jesus treats the church. Something special. Something important. Something that we need to be a part of on a regular, consistent basis. It's not about being entertained. It's about connecting and doing the things that God wants us to do. So let's be different. Let's come together and focus on Jesus. Let's be the church. Now, how do we do that? Specifically in regards to this first point. Maybe you notice that there are some people that are not here right now. They ought to be here. They ought to hear this message, right? That's what you're thinking? Maybe. But what if you called them later today and say, hey, missed you at church today. Is there a time that we could connect later this week? That's being the church. Hey, I missed you at life group this past week. Can we connect? Maybe our families get together. We'll share dinner. We'll hang out. We'll kind of ask how God's been working in our life and just kind of let that happen a little bit more organically. We don't have to have a band playing music for that to take place. So be the church. Notice who's not here right now. Connect with them this week. I think that's what Jesus would want us to do. Something else that I see common between sporting events, concerts, and church is the focus that we place on either the performers or ourselves. We focus on the people that are doing church for us or on ourselves. I think it's pretty common for fans in the stands at, let's say, a football game to be focused on just one player. You're looking at the quarterback. The ball gets snapped. You have no idea what happened on the offensive defensive line. You have no idea what happened in the secondary on defense. You certainly weren't paying attention to the coaches on the sideline or the referees. But there's a lot going on. Or maybe when you're at the concert, you're focused in on the lead singer. And you're dancing with the lead singer like you're the only person there, right? And you're singing along with the songs. Or maybe you're really into the drummer or the guitarist because that's what you like, and you're just watching them. And there's other people on stage doing their thing, but you're not really paying attention to that. And you get so focused on one person performing or doing something. Or maybe it's a little bit different, like with church. It's that you're focused on one singer, or you're focused on Walter playing the cajon. And he plays the heck out of the cajon. I mean, so if you're watching him, I understand. But while I'm up here on stage, you better be focused on me, okay? There's nothing else happening, all right? But in all seriousness, there is a bigger picture that we need to understand. We need to know why we're here. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? What is it God has for us? Here's what I want to talk about. In Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7, this is what it says. Come. So there's this idea right out of the gate. Come. Let's gather together. Let's get together. Come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The seas belong to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. Did you see that? I mean, there's all kinds of ideas of us coming together, doing these things together to praise and to worship God. It's got me thinking about church, and I understand that the book of Acts is kind of where we first see the church begin and to start. But I had an interesting thought flow through my mind as I was putting this message together. Do you remember the wise men that sought the baby Jesus? In Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 and 11, this is what we read. They show up in Jerusalem, they ask this question, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. And then later on in verse 11, they did find where Jesus was at, and they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Think about it. A group of people gathered together to pursue the king. Might have been a precursor to the church. The first ever, maybe, worship service on earth for the King of Kings. And it wasn't about the distance that they traveled. Like, oh, I go to this church. It's an awesome church. I drive 45 minutes to get there. It wasn't about the gifts that they offered to him. Sure, they were expensive. Sure, they were very valuable and precious. But it wasn't about them. It wasn't about their wisdom, how much they had studied, how much they knew and understood. Certainly wasn't about some kind of cool band playing some worship songs. I'm pretty sure Mary and Joseph didn't have them on standby in the corner just waiting for people to show up. I'm guessing they didn't have extra cups for donuts. No, they were there to worship Jesus. They were there to bow down, to kneel before their Lord and Maker. That's why they were there. And so this gives us an understanding of what we're supposed to be doing while we're here, to be able to make Jesus our priority, our primary focus. It's not about those that are on stage performing for you. It's about the King of Kings. And like we said, there's that priority, and there's also this idea of connecting with other people. But that connection needs to be safeguarded. Here's what I mean. The other comparison that I want to make this morning between sporting events, rock shows, concerts, is this: that we tend to follow the masses. You ever been to a sporting event and a certain mass of people stands up and then sits back down again? Like, what are they doing? And then they stand up again, and then some more people off to the side stand up and sit down. You're like, oh, I know what they're doing. It's the wave, right? You ever seen the wave happen in church? We're not going to do that. Some of you are like, come on, man, I'm going to do. But there's this group mentality that starts to take over, right? And then you see this big wave of people cascading around the arena, the stadium, whatever you're doing. Another mass group thinking kind of thing that happens, maybe you're at a concert and the band just got done playing. What's the magic phrase or word that you use? Encore, encore, or we want more, we want more. And then they come out and they play some more. Just as a FYI, if you start chanting at the end of my message, preach some more, preach. I got about 5 minutes and a bonus point that I'll bring back out if you want. I'm just saying. No, I don't. But there is this idea that sometimes we can kind of get pulled in by the masses and we start to just kind of have this groupthink mentality. And listen, that can be good if done well and done correctly and safeguarded, but it can also turn pretty nasty pretty quickly. One of the beautiful large group things that happens every Sunday here is the study of God's Word. We're opening up the Bible. We're looking in to see what He has for us, what He's teaching us with. And there's other large group things that we do. We sing songs. We there's big groups of us serving and doing things, and we do other things. But I want to focus in on the Word of God because I think it's important for us to help combat the negative things that might come out of this mass group thinking mentality. God's Word is supposed to impact our thoughts, our heart, our emotions, our actions, the things that we do. And that's the source that we need to go back to. We can't just blindly follow a large group of people heading in some direction if it's not been checked by Scripture. Equally true is following a leader blindly and not knowing that what they're saying is or isn't from Scripture is a dangerous thing. So what that means is that you, the fingers are pointing at you. You need to be in the Word. You need to open up your Bible and read what it says. Because let's just be honest, I might be cruising through my message this morning and I go to 1 Opinions chapter 3, verse 17, and I say this with all authority and confidence. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, especially when they ask to borrow your car at $100. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. You cool with that? No. No, you're not cool with that. Why? That's not Scripture. It's sandwiched in there. Looks good. Looks like it might be. Could kind of fit. It's actually from Hebrews 13, 17, minus the part about asking for your car keys and your $100. But you need to know Scripture. If you didn't know Scripture and somebody was up here on stage and they gave that to you, you're thinking, man, I got to come up with $100. I don't know. No, you need to know the Word of God. That's going to help steer the group in the right direction. Steer the church in the right direction. We need to go back and double check. We need to use this as our example. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture inspired by God is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. You might say critiques us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Double check what I'm saying. Double check what your life group leader is saying. Double check what your husband, your wife is saying. Double check with the group that you run with. Double check what they're saying. Because let's be honest, there are some leaders, there are some groups that have their own special interests, their own agenda. And we need to be able to come back to them and say, wait a minute, I don't see that in my Bible. You show me in yours where it says, and maybe I'll listen to what you're saying. That's what we need to be able to do. You need to be able to do that with me. Challenge me. I don't. When you said that on Sunday, what did you mean? I need you to help me understand that. Or you got a group of people that are going off in this direction, you might pull out some Scripture and go, no. This is how we're supposed to handle this. This is what we're supposed to do. And let God's Word convict. Let God's Word challenge and encourage and help us stay on the right path. The truth is, like it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we've all, like sheep, strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. And the only way to get back on is to pull out the scriptures and go, huh, I need to be doing this. And we can help each other by gathering together, by noticing each other, by spending time with one another, by praying with one another. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Using scripture to help us follow Jesus. Strive for that. So I want to simply recap what it is that we've looked at today. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to worship Jesus and experience his life-changing power so that we can be the church, not have church done for us. Second, we're not here to focus on the performers on stage, not here to focus on me. We gather with other believers to seek Jesus and to encourage those that are around us. That's why we're here. That's why God set up the church. And then finally, we're not here to follow the crowd. We're here to maintain spiritual discernment, spiritual decision making, and help each other test our actions and thoughts against biblical truth, using God's word to help steer our life and to help the lives of those that are around us. This is the purpose of the church. And I know that sometimes we can treat it like it's a rock show, like we're here to be entertained or a sporting event. But God's purposes are vastly different. And I would say far more beneficial.
Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to stay up to date with the latest information at lscc.tv. We'll see you next week.